Hey, I'm Casual Jake.
And I'm Connor, aka Taito.
And welcome to the MTG Educators Network podcast. This is episode 3. And today, Connor, you have brought us a new series that we plan to host on the podcast more in the future, right?
Correct. I came up with this idea one day while I was actually driving to work at my school. And I was very proud of it. I immediately had to message our group chat to talk about it. So welcome to the Teacher's Pet Decks series.
Woohoo! I love that. That's a cute name, too.
It's the best. So the thing that made me come up with this is I realized that there was a connection between probably the favorite commander deck that I have and the content that I teach. And we all know that teachers are super passionate about their content. Mm-hmm. So I assumed that there would probably be connections between that content, that passion, and the game that they're also so passionate about. And so I'm hoping that out there are some of you teachers that will tell me that you also feel the same and you have a deck that's related to this. So, you know, some examples I thought of that might exist out there is, you know, maybe an art teacher with a deck that has all their favorite arts from the history of Magic the Gathering, teacher with a big mana deck where they're actually having to do a ton of math. Or a science teacher that has a deck that, you know, has either Birthing Pod or Vanifar, some form of Evolve, or, you know, plus one count, something that shows that, like, science and evolution and everything like that. And because of that, I kind of came up with this idea of teacher's pet decks.
Yeah, no, I just got to wait for there to be, like, a viable bard deck for my music, you know, thing, and then we'll make that happen. So we'll have to see. But I love this idea of us, you know, like these player decks sometimes telling us a lot about like ourselves or about the people that we're playing against them. So what have you brought us today and what's kind of the stories that go with that?
All right. So we did, you know, tease this a little bit on last week's episode. But this deck that I brought today is Kethis, the Hidden Hand.
Ooh.
Yes. Very nice.
Good one.
So Kethis came out in M20. He is Abzan, so he is white, black, green, and that is also his casting cost. So he does have a CMC of 3. He's a legendary creature, elf advisor, and his text reads, legendary spells you cast cost 1 generic less to cast. And then he also has an ability that says, exile 2 legendary cards from your graveyard. Until end of turn, each legendary card in your graveyard gains. You may play this card from your graveyard. And he is a 3/4.
Yeah, what a powerful effect.
Yes, it's very good. And the theme that this kind of drives with the deck is a legendary mid-range reanimator. And
very nice.
Yeah, and this kind of coincides with my background as an ELA and a history teacher, because I see Kethis, if you've seen the art, and maybe we can get it up on screen here, he's writing on this magical scroll with like a pen or a quill, I should say. And I envision this as Kethis kind of telling the tales of all these legendary creatures and spells and lands and artifacts that are in this deck.
For sure. We're going to have to like crop Taito's face and like put it over Kethis and you know, make a proxy or something. No, that sounds great.
Funny side note. And maybe if I'm feeling generous, I'll send this to our editor, Mr. Busted Sleeves. But I have a picture of a card that I mentioned last week on the podcast, Hydra Broodmaster, where each of the heads is replaced with a picture of my face.
Ha! I love that. Don't let your memes be dreams. Make the memes. I love it.
Maybe if I can find that, I'll send it on over to our friend there and he can put it on the video.
Well, that's perfect. And now that we know who Kethis is and what the deck theme is, can you help us get a feel for the deck?
Yeah, and you know, going along with our theme of, you know, this is the MTG Educators Network, going along with our theme of teacher's pet decks, this is the segment that I like to call the lesson plan. So this is where we're going to talk about the ins and outs, different strategies, possibly the makeup of the deck, basically what makes the deck kind of tick and what we're going to be planning to do when we play a game with this deck.
Yeah, of course. And I'm looking at the list here. And of course, we got 100 cards for our commander deck and 41 of them are legendary, right?
Yeah. So I broke it down. There are 41 legendary cards. 26 of them are creatures. Unfortunately, that is not every creature in the deck because Hermit Druid is not legendary, which, I wish. There's 5 Planeswalkers. There's 5 legendary lands. And again, Castle Lochthwain literally sounds like it should be a legendary land, but it is not, unfortunately. So that's, you know, that's a very big letdown. There's 3 legendary
Flavor
artifacts.
Fail.
Oh, seriously. Castle Vantress, Castle Lochthwain, Castle Garenbrig. They weren't legendary probably because of Kethis when he was in standard because of the Kethis combo. But It does not make sense, and it stinks.
Yeah.
And then we have 3 legendary artifacts, 1 legendary sorcery, and 1 Kethys, and that adds up to 41.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds good. Like, you got a lot of targets to hit.
Yes, for sure. We definitely want to make sure that most of the time when we're filling up our graveyard or drawing cards even, we want to try to find some legendary cards. And there's 2 basic game plans that we use these cards for. We have a reanimator game plan and we have a mid-range game plan.
Okay, so about how many reanimator-based cards are there in the deck?
So I was using some metrics kind of to decide which cards do and don't go along with the reanimator strategy, and it came up with about 16 cards that help this strategy out of the like 60 or so that are in the deck besides lands.
Sure. So do you have any like specific all-stars on this deck, like anything that stands out?
Yeah, for sure. So we talked about again this card last week, Primeval's Glorious Rebirth. It can be so swingy, you just bring your entire graveyard back to the battlefield.
Great card.
Yeah, Altar of Dementia, Hermit Druid, and Liliana's Death's Majesty all serve to fill our graveyard. Mm-hmm. Hermit Druid can put like 30 cards in their graveyard at once. Altar of Dementia can be really good to just consistently fuel, as is Liliana's Death's Majesty. She has a +1 that reads, create a 2/2 black zombie creature token, put the top 2 cards of your library into the graveyard. So if we have both of those cards, we get 2 cards from Liliana and then 2 more from sacking the zombie to Altar of Dementia. We also have Bantu and Kakusho, who are my like recursion. So
there you go.
Kakusho will recur a bunch of times. It's read that when Kakusho the Evening Star dies, each opponent loses 5 life. You gain life equal to the life lost this way. And just like our episode last week as well, we talked about evaluating cards differently for Commander. That's hitting each opponent. So that's everyone loses 5, I gain 15.
Yeah, that's quite a big swing right there.
Yes, and if you could do it twice in one turn, everyone loses 10 and I gain 30. So that's a big deal. And then God Eternal Bantu is one of those other ways that we can sacrifice cards, but also gain card advantage. He sacrifices cards when he enters the battlefield, and I draw cards for creatures sacrificed that way. And finally, a little bit of a pet card for me, or pet cards, I guess you could say. Gisela the Broken Blade and Bruna the Fading Light. These cards came out when I wasn't playing Magic. There was a brief period between, I can't even remember what sets it was. I think it was like the 2nd Zendikar set and Ixalan or Dominaria, where I wasn't playing. And so these guys came out in the Shadows of Innistrad, Shadows over Innistrad, an Eldritch Moon kind of thing. And Meld as a mechanic is so strange to me.
And it's so weird.
It's so weird. But the idea of taking 2 cards out of their sleeves and making one giant, you know, 11 or 9-10 monster is so cool. So I had to include them in this deck. And they honestly, it will put in some work sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you meld them together. It makes a pretty powerful, you know, monstrosity, if you will. Now, going on to your next point, you had mentioned mid-range. So do you have cards dealing with that plan?
Yeah, so the mid-range plan is more for the idea of what happens when someone drops a Grafdigger's Cage or what happens when someone Bajuka Bogs your entire graveyard. So the deck needs to be able to function on its own without having to reanimate things. And I have these what I call mid-range enablers, and it's about 10 cards for this kind of backup plan. There's some situations where someone's holding your graveyard hostage, or like I said, someone just has the hate card out, like Grafdigger's Cage, Leyline of the Void or something like that. So You have to have this idea so you're not just completely dead in the water.
Right. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
So they say. So do you have any specific all-stars in this part of the deck?
Yeah. So I wrote it 3 times. Silvala Stampede. So
yeah, he literally wrote it 3 times, by the way.
I really did. This card is bonkers. So when I came back from my break of not playing Magic and I started to get more into Commander, I saw this card and one of my friends played it. And I said, oh my gosh, I need to get 10 of that card. I'm not excited to drop, you know, $100 because that card has to be $10 or something like that. It's just the value you got out of it was insane. And then I saw it's like 99 cents.
Right.
Which is mind-blowing. So Savala Stampede, for anyone that is unaware, is 4 mana and 2 green. So it's 6 mana converted mana cost total. And it is from Conspiracy 2, I believe. And it is a sorcery, and it says Council's Dilemma, which is one of these voting cards. So starting with you, each player votes for wild or free. Reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a creature card for each wild vote. Put those creature cards onto the battlefield, then shuffle the rest into your library. You may put a permanent card from your hand onto the battlefield for each free vote. So, ooh. Yeah, so if you swing this correctly, you get four permanents onto the battlefield for six mana.
Yeah, for real. Actually, now that you say that, I just got like these horrible flashbacks to playing against a deck that had that. And it was like, wait, this is a lose-lose decision, you know? And so that sounds like a really, really powerful card that's going to help you get some stuff that's not in the graveyard.
Yeah, and the other thing is it does involve politics at least a little bit, and a little bit of the mind games. So there's been tons of times where I have a stacked hand, an absolutely stacked hand, and I just say, deck. And then everyone's like, oh, he's got nothing in his hand. Let's make him throw down his hand. Sure. He wants the one deck, or vice versa. And I've been caught in that lie before. I've been caught in that plot tons of times. It happened to me on Friday, but it's fun
to go for it. It's a good
option. Absolutely. And when you do get to, like, you know, you pull the wool over their eyes, it's a really cool feeling and it's fun. You can all share a laugh about it for sure.
Of course. And they know never to trust you again.
Absolutely.
Your play group says, yeah, screw Connor, man.
He's the hidden hand, dude. Like, he's not the I'm going to tell you everything that's in my hand.
Oh, it's very flavorful. Again, Connor is basically Kethis. walk us through, what does an average game look like with this deck?
Sure. So similar to a lot of EDH games, the first few turns are normal. They're ramping. You know, maybe I'm going to fill up the grave with some stuff, like if I get an early Entomb or Buried Alive. So Entomb gets you, you know, for one black mana, you get one creature in the grave. Buried Alive gets you three for three mana. Both of those pretty solid cards because you really get to choose. But at the same time, you're kind of showing your hand. So I did, ironically enough, I played a 1v1 commander game with Kethis on Friday while we were waiting for our other friends to get ready to play. And my opening hand was like two or three lands, Reanimate, Buried Alive. Didn't even have the Buried Alive. It was like four or five lands, Reanimate, Elishnorn. So I'm sitting there and I go, I could just not do anything on turn one, discard Elishnorn to hand size, and then turn two, slam down a black mana source, reanimate Elishnorn, and probably just win the game
and
there.
And then there you go.
And I was like, that would be absolutely ridiculous. So aside from that, most of the time you're going to be spending the early turns, you know, ramping up, getting ready, just like in most other EDH games.
Sure.
After that, you have to decide what strategy is going to be the one that you're going to be focusing on this game. So very often I can tell whether or not I need to be focusing on a reanimation strategy or a mid-range strategy. Some key things that kind of tell me, if there's a Marin deck at the table, right? Or another reanimator deck, more often than not, they're going to be reanimating a lot faster than I can because I'm not an entirely reanimator deck.
Sure.
And that will usually draw the ire of the table, and because of that, some graveyard hate will be used, which could be, you know, some idea of, you know, Bajuka Bog only hits one player, but if there's a way for them to wipe out all graveyards, or if they start to take cards from other people's graveyards, or, you know, someone plays a Scavenging Ooze or something. Sure. Along
Tormod's
those
Crypt.
Yes, Tormod's Crypt is really good. So sometimes I'm wary of setting up my reanimation stuff when there's another reanimator deck, because not only am I going to pale in comparison to them, it's also just more likely that I'm also going to get wiped out by a big blowout like that. Mid-range is when, that's when we need the mid-range part of this deck, is when I find those situations. If I don't think that there's going to be a lot of interaction, and I do think that I can kind of just do my own thing for a little bit and fly under the radar, that's when I'm going to be setting up for my reanimator stuff. Yeah, and then the end game after that is, it's a lot of value engines. It's a lot of, you know, finding cost reduction, recurring creatures. It's, you know, recurring Kakusho a bunch of times, like I said before, because if I have the mana, I can basically recur him as many times as I have cards in my graveyard because of Kethis' ability. You know,
right.
Exile two cards, play Kakusho. Sacrifice Kakusho to Altar of Dementia to fill up my graveyard six cards. Do it again. Do it again. And at that point, they don't have that much life total left. I can also just consistently recur anything, even low cost, you know, something like a, trying to think of some of the low cost legendaries I have in this deck, like a Reki, Champion of Kamigawa, who's a three drop. And whenever you play a legendary spell, you or a legendary creature, you draw a card. So if I can just recur that with a Great Henge and a Guardian Project out, I just start drawing my deck and I'm fueling all of these other strategies. Or maybe I'm just going to slam down Avacyn and play Wrath of God. Who knows?
Nah, so evil. So evil. But yeah, no, that definitely works. I mean, that sounds like that's a scoopable moment right there.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Well, I think that as educators, the best tool that we use after a lesson is reflection. Yeah, this is the MTG Educators Network. So, you know, we're going to bring in the teacher stuff. So to see if there is anything that you can improve on, is there anything that you can think of about this deck? Is there any reflections that you have on this deck, areas that you could improve?
Yeah, so I think that another outright finisher, or maybe two, is important for the deck. One of the hardest parts that I find sometimes when I'm building decks like this, like I just I finished building Tazri Beacon of Unity not that long ago, is balancing the mechanic that the commander is trying to get you to play with the cards that you need for your strategy to work. So Guardian Project, Smothering Tide, these are not cards that are legendary. I wish they were, but they're not. They're really, really good cards. They're really good staples in my colors. So I need to play those cards. Finishers, there are not that many legendary, like, slam it down, win the game finishers. I have the only one of the only ones I have is God Eternal Ronus, which is five mana, double everything's power, and give it haste, I think. I can never remember if it's haste or trample. Craterhoof, Finale of Devastation, Pathbreaker Ibex, Triumph of the Hordes. None of these cards are legendary. So that's one slot that could be a legendary card. So that's kind of trying to find that balance. And that can be definitely one of my weaknesses as a deck builder, is to try to find that sort of balance. I don't know, maybe you have some ideas of other kinds of finishers in these colors as well.
I think it sounds like you know the finishers to add on. It's just you're committed to the legendary theme. So there's kind of this mental block of like, well, I don't want to take out too many legendaries. And there is something to be said for that, because Kethis does run on legendaries. I can't really come up with any ideas, but hey, if anyone in the comment section has any ideas, make sure to let him know. When Connor plays me and slams it down in front of me, I'll curse you, but I'm sure he'll be very happy about that. So no, it sounds like a very fun deck, very flavorful, very synergistic, and I like that you built a deck that not only has a game plan, but it has a very strong backup plan with lots of support.
Yeah, my background as a player is almost entirely as a mid-range player. I don't really play other archetypes. I've dabbled in combo before. I don't really play much control. So when I was looking for a deck that I really wanted to build, it was actually around the time that M20 was coming out. I was like, I'm missing a mid-rangey deck. For the longest time, I had a green-white Selvala deck. So that's a Selvala Explorer Returned. I loved that deck. Great, it was really deck. Cool. Yeah, it was really fun. I pulled a foil one from a pack randomly and I was like, oh, this is sweet. I'll definitely build that. I think I still have her somewhere. Why isn't she in this deck?
No, I was gonna say that slots right in.
So I love that deck, but it just eventually it was kind of losing its luster. It kind of became more of a combo-y deck with like Paradox Engine and Mana Dorks, because you just continuously untap and make a bunch of mana.
We don't have to worry about Paradox Engine anymore.
No, unfortunately not. So I was like, man, I really just want like some kind of, you know, a mid-rangey deck. And like Abzan is probably my favorite three color combination. It's Abzan and Bant for sure.
There you go.
Naya like right green. Behind those. Oh, I'm a huge green guy. I love my green decks. And then they announced Kethis with M20 when they did that whole like the five commanders they did, where they did like New Kalia, Kethis, three color Omnath, Yarok, and
I can't think of the other one. Meaning.
Oh, I can't either. Oh, that's a big pain.
But I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was super excited. So I immediately, Kaikar.
Kaikar, I even built a Kaikar deck.
I built Kethis and Kaikar at the same time. So I immediately got online to one of the, you know, one of the card sellers, and I bought a foil Kethis. It's still the foil Kethis that I own right now. It's just a super fun deck, and it's evolved over time. And I was already in the process of building it when I saw it on game nights, and I got a lot of really cool tips from, you know, Jimmy Wong talking about it. So it was really awesome to see the deck in action there before I built it and then eventually did get to play it.
Right. Well, it sounds like a super sweet deck. And, you know, Connor, thank you for coming up with this segment, this episode idea. I think it's really cool. Like you said, just listening to you and kind of asking these questions, I could tell how passionate you are about this deck. Which, you know, may seem silly to some people, but I don't think it is. I think, you know, this is a reflection of your own personality, the things that you value, and the fact that you can share that in a game that you really enjoy, I think is something, it's almost beautiful, you know? And so hopefully we'll be having some more of these coming on. Maybe we'll do me next, one of my pet decks, and some other people from the network.
Yeah, definitely. So if any of you are out there listening, first of all, if any of you are out there listening and you play Magic the Gathering and you're an educator or work in the education field, in any way, you need to get in contact with us. You definitely need to follow us on Twitter, follow the network on Twitter. So the Twitter for the MTG Educators Network is at MTG Ed Network. We're also on YouTube, where if you're watching this on there, hello. If you're not, go hello. Find us and subscribe. That's going to be MTG Educators Network. Look for the purple hat. And then Jake, where can they find you on your social medias?
Yeah, so if you want to get in contact with me, you can find me at Jake Casual, all one word, on Twitter. Everywhere else on the internet, just look up casual underscore Jake underscore. I don't know why Twitter and everything else is different, but that's the way it worked out. So maybe one day we can fix that. But yes, I do stream on Twitch. Generally going to be streaming MTG Arena, drafting, playing Historic, playing Standard, doing all that sorts of stuff. I am sponsored part of the Content Creator Program for Wizards, so I get to do early access. It's a lot of fun. Lots of cool stuff going on there. And you can check out my Instagram, where I post pretty regularly, and as well as my YouTube, where you can find some deck techs from a multitude of formats. Probably my favorite, of course, being EDH. And Taito, where can we find you on the interwebs?
So I am lucky enough to have my handle be the same across formats. So my Twitter and my Twitch are both Taito Parliament, TYTOPARLIAMENT. On my Twitter, I'll tweet about Magic, about U.S. politics, games in general, sometimes the Patriots, although right now I'm not exactly a great fan. If you're following football, you'll know why, and I'll date this podcast.
I have no idea, honestly. I'm like, woo!
And then I also am looking to get back into streaming on Twitch, with my niche kind of being in looter-based games. So I've been playing a lot of Genshin Impact, Destiny 2, the expansion's coming out in the coming weeks. Actually, if this comes out on the correct timetable, let's take a minute to think about this. This will be coming out the week before the launch of the Destiny expansion and the week before the launch of another game that I'm really excited for, which is Godfall, which is a looter hack and slasher based game from Gearbox and Epic Games. So keep an eye out for me playing all those games on my Twitch. I definitely want to start streaming some more. Definitely being involved in this and getting my creative juices flowing has really inspired me to try to get back on that grind.
For sure. And shout out to our editor on Twitter at Busted Sleeves for being an absolute beast in helping us get this podcast going. Of course, me and Taito are glad to you know, record ourselves and do all that, but Busted Sleeves is the one who really just gets it all together and, you know, it brings you the quality that you have there.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, we want to hear from you educators. So follow us on Twitter. Try to find our Discord link, which we can either, what can we do? We can tweet it out from the educators Twitter, just to be sure. Yeah. We can also DM it to you if you ask. Our DMs will be open. And if you think that you're a part, if you are a part of our network and you want to be on this podcast to tell us about your teacher's pet decks, please let us know. We'll try to strike up a conversation and see what we can do. Of course, we got to take care of Jake first. But after that, we're going to be looking for all of our friends to talk about the decks that they love so much.
For sure. Make sure you hit our DMs on Twitter, or if you're part of our Discord, you can message us there. For all my educators out there, make sure you're sharing the podcast so we can get all the people who play Magic and teach together, so that they can all kind of be a part of this ever-growing thing, so we can grow the network to its fullest potential.
Yes, because at the end of the day, you need to remember that teachers make magic.